Blog Talk Radio. Hallelujah. It's glorious. Make his praise glorious. Merry Christmas, family. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. I pray you are having already a wonderful morning as we make his praise glorious. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Most High God. Hallelujah. Make his praise glorious as we come into his presence, lifting up the name of Jesus this morning, making his praise glorious. I am thankful, I am grateful, and I am truly blessed to be with you this morning as we make his praise glorious. Thanking God for another day. Thanking God for each and every one of you who has taken the time to get up this morning and listen in on this Christmas day. So Merry Christmas, everybody. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thanking God again. Father God in heaven, I thank you for this day that you have made. May it be glorious, God, that no one forgets the reason for this season is your gracious and holy Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Father God, as I lift up the name of Jesus this morning, I say thank you. And Father God, as I move forward in your word, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. In Jesus' name I pray, believing and trusting that you, Lord God, are my strength, that you, Lord God, are my redeemer, that you, Lord God, are my Father who loves me. Thank you so much, Lord, for another day. May this day be more productive and better than yesterday. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, and hallelujah. Thanking God for all of you this morning on this very windy and chilly day. Whew, bundle up for those that are going into the house of God today. I pray your churches are open. I know I'm looking at the weather in my community, and it said that the wind chill advisory remains. Wind chills between 15 and 25 below zero in portions of central Illinois. So I just say for wherever you're living, depending on where it may be, I'm praying that you are safe and secure and warm in the loving arms of God, and that you are remembering that God's got you covered. Whatever's going on, you're all good because God is good. So thank you so much. Let's get into the word. We have quite a bit of word this morning. We're going to be finishing up the Old Testament before we go into Revelations this morning. We were in on Friday, our last chapter, which is actually today's New Old Testament word for the 25th of December. And we're going to start there, and then we'll go back and pull in our title word, which is coming out of Psalms. And then we'll get into Revelations this morning on New Testament, normally New Testament Sunday. But today it's going to be just a little bit different, but it's going to be good. So let's get your Bible out, get your Bible, because this is Bible study. This is reading and studying the Word of God. And so let's go. And it says in the book of Haggai, our Haggai, and our author is Haggai, the prophet. And it says the precise time is about 520 B.C., a precise date because Haggai mentions the second year of Darius the king in chapter 1, verse 1. which can be verified against Persian records. The 10 words or less, Jews returning from exile need to reveal God's temple. The details, please. One of three pro-exilic prophets, a guy who encourages former Babylonian captives, or the demolished temple in Jerusalem. The new world power, Persia, has allowed the people to return to Jerusalem, but they've become distracted with building their own comfortable homes. Through Haggai, God tells the people to rebuild the temple first in order to break a drought that's affecting the countryside. A quotable, "Be strong, all ye people of the land, says the Lord, and work, for I am with you, which says the Lord of hosts." Haggai 2 and 4. Unique and unusual about this book, Haggai seems to hint at the end times tribulation and second coming of Christ. When he quotes God as saying, "I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come." And that's chapter 2, verses 67. And a so what? Priorities are important when we put God first. He is more inclined to bless us. Wow. God is more inclined to bless us when we put him first. So let's put God first this morning on this Christmas day. Before the presents are open, before the church service begins, let's put God first and get into this word. And the word of God says, "In the second year of King Darius, in the sixth month of the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people says the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet for you yourself to dwell in your panel houses and this temple to lie in ruins. Now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sworn much and bring in little. You eat, but do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourself, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple, that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, says the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that is in ruins. Every one of you runs to his own house. Therefore, the heavens above you withhold the dew, and the earth withholds its fruit. For I called for a drought on the land and the mountains on the grain and the new wine and the oil on whatever the ground brings forth on man and livestock and on all the labor of your hands. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people feared the presence of the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke the Lord's message to the people, saying, I am with you, says the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, on the 24th day of the sixth month in the second year of King Darius. In the seventh month, on the 21st of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, saying, who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? And how do you see it now in comparison with it? Is this not in your eyes as nothing? Yet now be strong. Zerubbabel, says the Lord, and to be strong, Joshua, son of Jehoshaphat, the high priest, and be strong, all you people of the land, says the Lord, and work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts, according to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt. So my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. God does not want us, any of us, walking in fear. We walk in faith. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and dry land. And I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations, and I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. Can we make it glorious, y'all? The silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts, on the 24th day of the ninth month in the second year of Darius. The word of the Lord came by God, the prophet, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, now ask the priest concerning the law, saying, if one to carry holy meat in the fold of his garment, and with the edge he touches bread or stew, wine or oil, or any food, will it become holy? Then the priest answered and said, no. And then God said, if one who is unclean because of a dead body touches any of these, will it be unclean? So the priest answered and said, it shall be unclean. And the guy answered and said, so is this people, and so is this nation before me, says the Lord, and so is every work of the hand, and what they offer there is unclean. And now carefully consider from this day forward, from before stone was laid upon stone in the temple of the Lord, since those days when one came to a heap of 20 ephahs, there were but 10. When one came to the wine vat to draw out 50 vats from the press, there were but 20. I struck you with blight and mildew and hail and all the labors of your hand, yet you did not turn to me, says the Lord. Consider now, from this day forward, from the 24th day of the ninth month, from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Is the seed still in the barn? As yet the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, and the olive tree have not yielded fruit. But from this day I will bless you. And again, the word of the Lord came to God on the 24th day of the month, and speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heaven and earth. I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms. I will destroy the strength of the Gentile kingdoms. I will overthrow the chariots and those who ride in them, and horses and their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. In that day, says the Lord of hosts, I will take you, Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, says the Lord, and will make you like a signet ring. For I have chosen you, says the Lord of hosts. In some life, a life lesson, and what the Bible says about unexpected glory. As we started this morning's show with Make It Glorious, a song of praise, we got to praise the Lord every day. Give God his time. Haggai chapter 1, verse 7, consider your ways. We ought to stop and periodically review our lives in light of God's word. Very often, this is all it would take to alert us to dangerous trends or to confirm that we're heading in the wrong direction. about I am with you, says the Lord. The Holy Spirit empowers us to carry out God's commandments. He gives us the courage, strength, and ability we need to not hesitate to obey God. In the midst of all your trouble, he will equip you to carry out his commandments. Hallelujah. Verse number 4 of chapter 2. And the whole verse says, yet now be strong. Therefore says the Lord, and be strong, Joshua, son of Jehoshaphat, the high priest, and be strong, all you people of the land, says the Lord, at work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts. Be strong and work, for I am with you. God knows we tend to compare our current circumstances with what went before, to long for the good old days. But he wants us to fix our eyes on him and the still greater things he has planned for us. We can work hard and effectively for the Lord when we remember that he has promised to be with us. The awareness of God's presence energizes us for our work. Praise God. Excuse me. 2 verses 67. It passes like a red, green, and gold. Excuse me. I swallowed the wrong way. But the devil is alive, and we are going forth, hallelujah, on this Christmas day. It passes like a red, green, and gold blur of light, wrapping paper and familiar carols, bombarded by gift requests, holiday programming, church pageants, and relatives. It seems that the most blessed of seasons may hit as hard and fast as Texas tornado. Christmas has commenced, yet instead of joy, peace, and glory to God, it produces physical, emotional, and financial overload. With all the activity and sensory stimulation, it is no surprise that we often become thrill junkies. What a strange response to Christ's humble birth. Yet sometimes we desperately need to be quiet and observant instead of continually seeking the blast of overwhelming images. We need to learn that tranquility is to be shared as a time to seek God. It is amazing how much we can miss when we don't take the time to be still and see how God is moving. Who would have expected that an ordinary young shepherd boy could defeat a mighty warrior like Goliath? And who would have guessed he would make a great king? Yet David was able to accomplish great things through God's provision. 1 Samuel 17, it was not tempest, crazy wind, earthquake, or fire that God spoke to Elijah. When God spoke to Elijah, he did so in a gentle whisper. 1 Kings chapter 19. When Christ chose the disciples that would take his message to the world, he did not choose those who graduated first in their class at the rabbinical school. Instead, he chose ordinary, uneducated fishermen who were willing to follow him and become fishers of men. Acts 1:13. And no one in Israel would have anticipated how God would send the Messiah. After all, God had told the prophet of God, I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations, and I will fill the temple with glory. Who could have guessed that meant the birth of the Christ child would take place in a barn, or that God's salvation would be accomplished on a cross? These were completely unexpected places to find God's phenomenal glory displayed. Truly, God works through the timing to exhibit his great power. Stopping in the midst of a hectic desert and looking for ways God is working in our lives is an immensely valuable practice. It's in the simple things that God chooses to display his glory, and by looking for God in the everyday occurrences of life, we learn that nothing in their lives is beyond God's care. The unimpressive shepherd boy became Israel's great king. Barely unschooled fishermen became the great disciples of the faith. Elijah heard God in a whisper, and the Messiah was born in a manger. Ordinary things are used to display God's power, and he is still at work all around you in the humble manners of life. Who knows what amazing things he can do through you? Therefore, this Christmas, enjoy moments of silence and meditate upon God's character and words. Learn to look for him and to anticipate his glory in the most unexpected places, because in doing so, you will strengthen the foundation of your growing relationship with Christ. And isn't that a great Christmas present? In Isaiah chapter 2, verse 19, is the seed still in the barn? God asks for our obedience today so that he may bless us tomorrow. God's blessing for obedience usually do not appear as soon as we obey. He's not a candy machine, but God works for those who wait for him. Are you waiting for God today? Are you celebrating the birth of his son? Are you just looking at the commercialization of this holiday? Because it seems that we have forgotten to put Christ in it, when there is no Christmas without Christ. Let us continue in our Psalms this morning. We are in the 146th Psalm and the 147th Psalm, verses 1 through 11, which are titled out of this morning. And it says in the 146th Psalm, verses 1 through 10, praise the Lord, O my soul. For I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God. Why am my being? Do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man, in whom there is no help. His spirit departs, he returns to his earth. In that very day, his plans perish. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and widow. By the way of the wicked, he turns upside down. The Lord shall reign forever. Your God, O Zion, is to all generations. Praise the Lord. Can we praise God this morning? Can you give God a hallelujah? Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of the glory. Lord, you're worthy of the praise. Praise the Lord today. 147 Psalm, verses 1 through 11. Praise the Lord. We're going to praise God this morning. But it is good to sing praises to our God. It is good to sing praises to our God. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises on the harp to our God, who covers the heavens with clouds, who prepares rain for the earth, who makes grass to grow on the mountains. He gives to the beast its food and to the young ravens that cry. He does not delight in the strength of the horse. He takes no pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his mercy. Hallelujah. Giving God praise this morning. Thanking God for another day. Giving God, hallelujah. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty. who was and is to come. Great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Hallelujah. That is our title coming out of King James Version of this word. And all I can say is thanking God this morning for his greatness. Thanking God for his love. Thanking God for his hope in the future. Great is our Lord and mighty in power is what it says in King James, in New King James. His understanding is infinite. But great is our God and of great power. His understanding is infinite. God understands us. God knows your name. God, and all I can say is thank you, God, for this day that you have made. I'm rejoicing and glad in it. Hallelujah. 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 And our Proverbs for this morning, Proverbs 30 and 17. The eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out and the young eagles will eat it. That sounds kind of harsh, but it's the truth. Verses 18 through 19 of chapter 30 of Proverbs. There are three things which are too wonderful for me. Yes, four, which I do not understand. The way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent on a rock, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a virgin. And as we continue in our Proverbs, this is the way of an adulterous woman. She eats and wipes her mouth and says, I have done no wickedness. And that is our Old Testament word for this morning. And as we go to our revelations for today and for this weekend, we are reminded of who we are and what we are going to go through. We know that Jesus is coming back. So please join me in Revelation chapter 13, 14, and 15. And our 13th chapter says, then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and on his horns ten crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power and his throne and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemous. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose name have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. Those that worship the beast are the ones whose names are not listed. And I'm gonna read that again. An authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose name have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast, who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as will not worship the image of the beast to be killed. Ooh, hallelujah. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as will not worship the image of the beast to be killed. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound like a Nebuchadnezzar, you got to worship my image? This big, huge image built, and when you hear the music playing, you got to bow down to this image. Daniel didn't do it. The three Hebrew boys didn't do it. One got thrown in a fiery furnace, and three in a fiery furnace, and one in a lion's den. But we know that the killing of those that will not bow down to the coming beast will be guillotine. They will be dead. Are you willing to die for your faith? Are you willing to die and say, not today, Satan? Just go on and take my life, because I know where I'm going. But I'm not going to bow down to you. We got to pray and ask for strength, because the day is coming, and it may be in our time and in our generations to come, that we may live to see this day and die for our faith. And it says, he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. Are y'all listening to this? And in our generation, it may be a computer chip that they will put in your hand or on your head. And we know there were many that were saying that the vaccine was the mark of the beast, but it does not coincide with the word. So no, the vaccine was not the mark of the beast. And if you are believing that, then you are believing a fallacy, another trick of the enemy to take as many out as he can to this awful disease called COVID, this awful illness called the flu, and RSV, and all these other things out there. The devil is a liar and is a cheat, and he doesn't want you vaccinated. He doesn't want you protected, because vaccinations come from God. Our scientists would not have created them, because they wouldn't have had the knowledge. And I'm saying this. We got to read the word. Don't go by what this person says or that person says. What does God's word say? And God's word says that all these other things have to happen before the mark of the beast comes about. And it says he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand and on their forehead. And no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Are you listening to this? Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. Remember this. Keep this 13th chapter of Revelation in your spirit so you understand. God has given us a blueprint of what must happen before the mark of the beast comes about. Yes, there are folks right now who probably carry the mark because they have already sold their soul through technology to work for certain companies. You must have this computer chip. We already know that the enemy has his minions out there, and they're practicing. They're practicing right now. For people to have certain employment, they must have a computer chip put in their forehead or in their hand, because most have not read the book. Most have not do not understand what God's word is speaking to us. So they go la-di-da-di-da and don't know that it's a trick of the sneaky snake to get us off our off our square. And as we go back to Revelation 13:2, the dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. The Antichrist, the beast, the man of sin, the son of perdition, whatever we call it, to get his power and authority directly from the devil. That means he will be cunning as well as evil. And I'm going to tell you now, probably handsome as they say, as beautiful as sin. Going to be gorgeous. Not going to be some old man. It's going to be somebody young and flamboyant and can speak and can mesmerize, can have tell you truth from the word so the Christians will follow. Will be that one that will come in the guise of possibly a John F. Kennedy Jr. type, very handsome, you know, that everybody's going to want to follow because he looks just like what they want. You got to understand, the devil's not going to stand old and decrepit. He's going to stand young and handsome. And he might even send a woman. We don't know. But whoever, it says a man, knowing the word. So we're going to go with the word of God. And I'm going to tell you, if somebody is too good to be true, you better believe they are. They are. And it goes on to tell us in Revelation 13:5, he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemy. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months. 42 months. Whew. And think that through. To live here. A presidency is 48 months. This one will be given 42 months. It says, no horror on history will compare with the Antichrist's reign of terror, but the God of heaven will strictly control even the length of his rule. God remains sovereign even when it appears he doesn't. 3.5 years. This evilness will be 3.5 years. And many will die. Because if you believe in God, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not taking the mark. You're going to die. And you're going to choose to die. Whether it's through starvation or whatever it is, you'll choose death over living in this kind of evil. And as we go back, go to verse 14, it says, chapter 14 of Revelation. This is a word that is a today word. It says, then I looked and behold a lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him were 144,000. Having his father's name written on his forehead, on their forehead. And I heard a voice from heaven like the voice of many waters and like the voice of loud thunder. And I heard the sound of harpists playing their harps. They sang as if it were a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn that song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. These are the ones who were not defiled with women, but they are virgins. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb, and in their mouth was found no deceit. But they are without fault before the throne of God. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and springs of water. And another angel followed, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. Here is the patience of these saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works follow them. Then I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and on the cloud sat one like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, thrust in your sickle and reap, for the time has come for you to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. So he who sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. Then another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, and he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, who had power over fire, and he cried with a loud voice, who had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in your sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for grapes are fully ripe. So the angel thrust his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and threw it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trampled outside the city, and blood came out of the winepress up to the horse's bridle for 1,600 furlongs. In a life lesson from chapter 14, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come. Modern believers do not often connect divine judgment with glory, but the Bible does. And when we go to Exodus 14:4, 17 and 18, Ezekiel 28 verses 22, 39 and 21, John 8 and 50. God reveals his majesty not only in loving acts of mercy, but also in holy acts of vengeance. And chapter 11 of Revelation, the smoke of their torment ascended forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night. Hell is a place of eternal suffering and restlessness, because its doomed souls are forever separated from God, the only one who could have made them whole. There is no peace for the wicked, says the Lord, Isaiah 48 and 22. In our Christmas revelation, chapter 15, says this, then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels, having the seven last plagues, were in them the wrath of God is complete. And I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who have the victory of the beast over his image, over his mark, over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having harps of God. They sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb sang, great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy, for all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested. After these things I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened, and out of the temple came the seven angels, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure bright linen, and having their chest girded with golden bands. Then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God, who lives forever and ever. The temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no one was able to enter the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were completed. And when we go to our life lessons from Revelation chapter 15, verse 4, who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. One day every knee shall bow to God, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Romans 14:11 and Philippians 2:10. But some will bow willingly and joyfully, while others will bow grudgingly and in dread. But everyone will bow. Revelation 15:8. The temple was from the glory of God and from his power, and no one was able to enter the temple. Whenever God unveiled his full majesty, his splendor overwhelms the saddest heart and forces it into worship for retreat. This happened with Isaiah 6:4-5, and at the dedication of the Jerusalem temple in 1 Kings 8:10-11. We got to understand that we have read Revelation. We have read our God. We have read our Psalms. And we have read our Proverbs for today. I thank you all for joining me. Revelation is not a clean and tidy book, but it's a book to get us ready. It's God's way of getting us prepared that the enemy's coming. We all know, but he's getting us, giving us a blueprint of what is to come and what we must do to get through. Hallelujah. And a word for this morning, cannot lose. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8:37-39, New King James. It says, Paul, for God, I come to you with my hands open to receive a new dose of your mercy today. Like a waterfall, flow over me with your unending love that gives me life. Flood me with your rivers of grace that empower me to face anything that may come. There is nowhere I can go and nothing I can do that will not make your love less acceptable. What a wonderful reality that I am always connected to your kindness. It is the fuel of my own compassion. What could anyone really do to me if they can't take away my access to your incredible affection? You are the prize of my life, and I live for you, connected to you by your river of mercy. I will not worry about losing myself along the way, for I have found myself coming alive in you. And the question is, what situation can you carry the confidence of God's love into today on this Christmas day? And our next one is extravagant love. God gives us extravagant love. A child has been born to us. God has given a son to us. He will be responsible for leading the people. His name will be Wonderful, Counselor, Powerful God, Father who lives forever, Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6, NCV. Prince of Peace, you are the loving, the longing of every beating heart. Your love that knows no limit is the dream of all hearts and souls, looking for meaning. Every conflict will find its end. Wars will cease, but but your love will never run out. Your kindness, like a flowing river, will never run dry. Though oceans rise and nations fall, you remain steadfast and secure. You don't experience power shortages. You operate in abundance. I bind myself to you and trust that your unfailing love will carry me through every season and circumstance. You are better than anything I could ever find by achieve on this earth, and I won't be satisfied until I'm resting in you. Today I pause to reflect on your great compassion that reaches out beyond the heavens into my little corner of the world. Spirit of God, I make room for you to come and move in power. Come and mend the broken hearts of my life without your healing power. What area can you invite the Prince of Peace into today as we think about his day? And our word for this Christmas morning, and it is vulnerable. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Luke 2:11, NIV. Emmanuel, your very name states the beautiful mystery of love. Come down to earth, God with us. You are the incarnation of the saving grace of God. Jesus, what a glorious reality that you came humbled as a baby, born the way each of us is in vulnerability. You subjected yourself to the limits of humanity, all while showing us the true heart of the Father. You did not do anything without setting the example of how we can live. In your living, you poured out love and dignified the dregs of society. In your dying, you united us under the mercy of your sacrifice. In your resurrection, you set the tone for the freedom of your people, that not even death could hold us down. As you were with us, then in flesh and blood, you are with us now in spirit and truth. Why is the birth of Jesus significant to remember? And I say this day, never forget that God loved us so much that he gave his son for our salvation, that he gave his son that we may live and not die. Praise God this morning. Never forget the purpose of this season. The reason for this Christmas day is Christ, our Lord and Savior. Have a blessed day, family. That is all I have this morning. I got to get ready for church and thanking God every moment of this day that God gave us a Savior. And his name is Jesus. Have a blessed day, family, and know that God is with us in every way through Emmanuel, his son. Be blessed. Merry Christmas. And I pray that you join me again on tomorrow, God willing, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we move forward in the Word of God. And remember, great is our Lord, and of great power, his understanding is infinite. Be blessed and have a great day, and may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful Christmas. God bless you. God love you. God put his face to shine upon you all. Be blessed. It's a wrap.